Moon over, Parma, and welcome to the first episode of Drew Carey is a Piece of Shit. Now, this podcast will cover every single episode, all 233 episodes of The Drew Carey Show, and we will ask the question in each episode, is Drew Carey a piece of shit? Now today, I am joined with my co-host, Christopher Rivas.
Hello.
And I am Steve Grande, and we want to welcome all of you to our maiden voyage, our first episode. Much like Drew Carey's first episode, we're gonna see where it goes. Chris, why don't you tell everybody how this episode and idea of a podcast came about?
Okay, well, we were watching TV one night, and Drew Carey show came on TV, and we said, "Why don't we watch this show and see what happens?" And then we watched it, and we're appalled, and.
Because it's terrible.
It was so bad. Like, I was insulted as a viewer of television. Like, there's this whole storyline involving a disgruntled employee that...
Played by David Cross.
That Drew Carey is entirely responsible for disgruntling and then just projects everything onto this disgruntled employee, all his fears about what a disgruntled employee might do. And then... That disgruntled employee shows at several turns that, no, Drew Carey, it's all in your head. You're being crazy and paranoid. I'm just a normal guy who you made a mistake, buddy. You ruined my life. Thanks a lot. But at the very end, there's one more twist, and turns out Drew Carey was right the whole time because the writers couldn't have Drew Carey look like a piece of shit because Drew Carey was totally a piece of shit for the way that he treated that man. And everything that happened thereafter was just wish fulfillment, basically, on his part. And I like to think that the very end of that episode was, in Drew Carey's mind, the guy turning around and trying to attack him, and Drew Carey getting saved, and not having learned a lesson, and not having changed in any meaningful way, and just still gets to be Drew and still gets to ruin people's lives because they turn out to be crazy in the end. That all happened in his mind.
No, okay.
That guy just walked away.
Whether it happened in his mind or not, it brought out the point of Drew Carey treats his friends, family, and complete strangers terrible on this show. And we just want to show the world that and have a fun time laughing at it. While we say that, we do want to say that this is a disclaimer that we personally, like real Drew Carey,
we don't care.
Yeah, we don't have anything against him. Like, I don't know if he's a piece of shit. He's probably not. He's probably a good guy. I mean, they don't let pieces of shit just be the guy.
They let pieces of shit be the president of the United States.
They do, but. We're talking about the Drew Carey show here, pal. This is Cleveland. This is wholesome. This is family fun.
I don't know Drew Carey or his world. I just know the Drew Carey character on the TV show.
Yep. And that's what we'll be talking about. In this first episode, this was the pilot of the series. It debuted in September of 1995, and it was ranked the 29th most viewed show of the week. Chris, are you surprised by that?
I don't
that
know.
It was
no,
too
maybe
high
not.
Or
no.
It was too low?
I don't know, because if you think about it, this was 95. I mean, there's 7 days in a week that they got to air something.
Yep.
That's a lot of programming.
There's a lot of TV going on,
right? And the major networks are still all there, and they're constantly trying to push out more and more stuff because the internet hasn't matured yet, you know? So, like...
Yes, 20... I think 29th is a good place for it. Especially when you had heavy hitters like Friends and Seinfeld on at the same time. That's some stiff competition. And this is a show out of nowhere, really. Other than, I guess, Drew Carey was kind of a somewhat famous comedian back then. I don't know. I don't think he was Jerry Seinfeld level. Anyway... We get to this pilot episode, and this whole episode is
Does
our
this episode have a name?
It just says pilot. Okay. It's just called pilot, and this episode shows it introduces us to our four main characters.
Tell us the first moment of the episode.
Okay, the first moment of the episode is, well, the four characters. I think we need to point it out before we get started. The four characters are very much in the vein of a Seinfeld.
We don't know that.
It looks like it.
We don't know that at this point in the show. All we know is the audio line to coming up a black fade out.
Yes. We'll get to that, but I'm saying they tried to remake the same formula, three guys and a girl, and most of those characters have very similar traits to those of Seinfeld. So with that, it opens up with the three guys, Ryan, Drew, and Oswald, sitting at the bar. They're at a table, and it opens up.
Is Seinfeld, if it follows George's life?
Yes, basically, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And George is just an asshole to everybody.
Yeah, it's like...
Without even realizing it?
It's a less self-aware George Costanza.
It's a Seinfeld spinoff. I never realized it.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. So anyway, it opens up with the three of them drinking at a table, and Ryan Stiles just goes... Oh, I think I called him Ryan in the intro. I don't know his real character.
His name is Lewis?
I want to say Lenny. Like, he looks like the inspiration of what Lenny is on The Simpsons.
Lewis, I think it's Lewis.
Lenny's Lewis, yes. Okay, well, whatever. Ryan Stiles. he totally opens up with the show, and he just says the words, and that's why the French don't bathe. And...
He didn't say it like that.
He said, the French don't wash.
Yeah.
But it was like, and then the applause came.
It was very cavalier, yeah.
And it was like, oh, what does that statement have to do with anything of three guys from Cleveland sitting around having a beer in a show
it
where
it just shows
about,
that they're friends.
Just shit-talking the French?
Yeah, you tell them jokes. Friends tell jokes at the bar.
Oh, just, okay. So...
quick and dirty screenwriting.
So, okay, so I guess, that's so simple. Well, let's move on to later in the conversation.
No, that's all I'm saying is, like, that's how they do that. Okay, yeah, fine.
Yes,
whatever.
No, I see that trick. But what happens then, Chris, in the rest of that conversation?
Oh, then they go on to a big gay bit where they're making fun of Oswald.
Because
he doesn't find... It's really strange because the character doesn't find Brad Pitt to be the most attractive man in the world. All the other characters get mad at him. They're like, well, fine. Who do you find to be an attractive man?
And he says Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad choice. It's
no.
It's just which cup of coffee do you want?
Yeah. But the main point is that then they proceed to, like, you know, jokingly as screenwriters would write characters to do, because they did not sound like real people in any way, shape, or form. They taunt him and, like, you know, whisper a future story with him starring in it where he's a gay man and why, like, don't his parents accept him or whatever else. It's really quite strange. And I don't know. It was just not funny. That's the main point.
It wasn't.
This came out 22 years ago. I wonder if this was funny then, because I didn't really laugh at it.
Oh, there were so many things in this episode that we're gonna.
But
get
I remember
to
watching Drew Carey as a kid and not really thinking it was that funny. It was just always on,
just like Drew Carey, because the character of Drew is always on, and I wanna.
You're
what a best describe.
On.
I'm not always on. I'm just saying, like he. Let me put it this way, Chris. He gets to a point of where he is that friend that you have, whether that friend is a performer or whether that friend is just the office or class clown, and they're always trying to go for the joke, and that's what Drew Carey is. Like, it gets to a point where it gets obnoxious throughout the episode, and his friends, for some reason, not only are they, like, still sticking by his side, but it feels like he has control of them. Like, he is the, he's the alpha of the group, and that no one would stand up to his overdone shenanigans in that.
Yeah. I guess I sort of tuned out for a second. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ. So, anyway, it ends. Credits come up of the opening scene, the theme song. It's Moon Over Parma. It's only like 10 seconds long. If you have watched it...
There was already a title card, though.
There was a title card, but now there needs to be two. Because, look, it's the first episode ever.
Because you can't have a cold open.
They didn't have TV guides back then on the screen. You had to buy a book.
They had it on the screen.
No, on some nice TVs in 1995. You had to go to that one channel where it just circled
around. Yeah, that's the one.
Back
yeah.
and forth. Nobody got time for that.
I used to love watching that channel.
That's so dumb. You were such a fucking dork.
I sat around
waiting to watch. Ooh, what's on?
Yeah.
Ooh, Independence Day. Wow, I can't wait to watch TNT later tonight.
Yeah, or like, what's on right now? And like, I wanted to see what was on, you know, Nickelodeon. And as you turn to that channel, there goes 33. And it's like, crap, I gotta sit here for another 10 minutes.
Your Nickelodeon was 33 too?
Really?
That's insane.
Yeah.
We lived on completely opposite sides of the country.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, back to Drew Carey.
No!
So we open up and it looks like Ryan Stiles is just picking up a pizza box, putting it in a trash bag. He's cleaning up as Drew Carey is walking down the stairs. He's in a tie. He's in a button-up shirt. He's looking like he's ready to go to work. And they say the word rager to each other.
Did they?
Yes, or the party, or some kind of event happened. And it made me question...
There were two hookahs in the back.
Yes, there were two hookahs. The apartment is kind
of... Dude, I have all the hookahs at all my ragers.
It's kind of weird.
Well, you know, I'm in high school.
The thing is that they were in this bar, and before they left the bar, they were like, oh, well, no women here have a chance with Brad Pitt. So, did that mean that he invited people over? Because they said he had a party.
They did suggest that there was a party last night, but if it was just the three of them partying?
Yes. Like, that's sad. That's really sad.
Maybe they all slept with each other.
I guess. I mean, is that the undertone that you think this show is trying to say?
Not at all, but like, why the hell would three grown men go back to one of their apartment?
Well,
how old are they supposed to be?
I don't know.
That's another thing.
Like, I'm gonna look up and see how old Drew Carey is. But I gotta feel like they're in their mid-30s, maybe
he
early 40s.
A four-bedroom apartment.
Yes.
A four-bedroom house.
He has a house.
With a garage and a backyard.
Yes.
And clearly no front yard. But doesn't own a car either. Like, he spent all his money on the house, I guess. I don't know. But he lives there alone is the main thing.
Drew Carey was in his late 30s when this show came out. When he was doing the show, mid to late 30s. So I assume they're that age, which, okay. But if you're in your mid to late 30s and you and your friends are leaving from the bar and then you go party at their house and it's just the three of you, I don't think that qualifies as a party. That qualifies as three sad men getting shit-faced, doing hookah.
I mean, to be fair, who hasn't been a 36-year-old man who just drinks a bunch with his buddies, goes back to their house, and then drinks more and passes out?
Absolutely fine. We do that every weekend. But we don't say, oh, we're going to go have a party at our house. We just come home and drink and watch TV and go to bed.
Yeah.
That's it. So anyway, it was kind of weird. Like, it was, in my head, I'm like, is Drew Carey trying to say that he lives this extravagant life of partying?
Also,
I also think we have to, like, take a step back and be like, we're really reading into things and trying to make astute observations, but, you know, maybe it's just not there.
Sure. I just think it's a little odd, too, that
Ryan Stiles.
That he works for Drunko, and Drew Carey goes to work and comes back from work, and Lewis is still at his house that whole time.
Yes. I believe it is the next day. It is the following day from that bar. So
I'm just saying, like, do they not work the same days?
This is why it's also asking, was it really a party? Because Oswald, he said he's not leaving until he gets his money from Drew, because he was the mobile DJ that night. And
what does that mean?
I don't know what mobile DJ means. I guess, no, it didn't really get a laugh. It was just kind of like, oh, you pay me to do this job.
The main thing I remember for this whole segment is that Drew Carey just goes into one of his stand-up routines for a minute.
Yes. And he...
I don't even remember.
It doesn't matter.
He's, like, straightening up his tie, and he's like, Second Amendment, right to bear arms. I guess I'll take off my sleeves or whatever.
Okay, you did pull a Rodney Dangerfield. Oh, you have no respect. For Cleveland.
That was also a better joke than we've done was in this show.
So he's shucking and jiving with his jokes.
I'm sorry.
We're getting to it. With his jokes, he goes to the kitchen where by the back door. And hears a knock at the door. He says, come in. And Kate comes in. So this is the first time we ever see
90s
Kate.
Neighbors always come in through the back door.
Yes, but why? Why did this person knock to come in through the back door?
Well, to make sure they were awake. Because she knew they were having a party that night. Because she couldn't make it to the party.
She couldn't make it to the party. Because
in a couple lines.
Because
you're breaking this down line by line.
She broke up with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend fired her. And this opens up the whole relationship at work question, which is the, you know, main thing under the surface for this episode.
Yeah,
the main theme of what Drew Carey is dealing with. Because later in the episode, we get introduced to Mimi for the first time, and Mimi is applying for the open cosmetics job at
why not?
Department
There's
store
an open job. I want it. Let me go apply.
Yep.
And from her point of view, she's like, I'm getting ready in the day. I look pretty good. My makeup matches my outfit. I'm totally me. I'm going to get out of my way world. Let's go fucking get a job. And she goes to a department store, and they're like, oh, to interview, instead of the office of the store or whatever, you have to come into, like, this little cubicle area?
Yes.
And interview a man who only has one wall in his cubicle?
Yes, because Drew has access from the front of the cubicle, and right behind his chair, he can exit. So he's in a perfect spot if there's ever a fire.
I mean, I also building. Have to assume that because of the camera, there's no fourth wall either. So
no, there's nothing holding them back. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, because in that kitchen scene, not only the only funny thing that happened in the episode is this: Ryan Stiles is like, oh, we're looking for food. Oh, found a can of corn. Yep. In the cabinet. But then it didn't get a laugh. And it was just awkward.
It was just
simmer.
A straight cut. It was, we need food, we need food. I found some Cheerios.
Can of corn?
And then right no back laugh. In. And then boom, there's Drew and Kate having a discussion again.
Right back into it. And then Kate's like, well, I'm looking for a job. I want to work for you if you got a job. And then Drew Carey's like, well, I don't want to work with friends because that could be awkward. And what if I had to fire you? Kind of conversation with her. And then abruptly bolts out because his carpool is there. And the next scene, do you have anything to say about the kitchen scene before we leave?
No. All
right, because we then pick up in the carpool. And in the carpool, it is a sedan, kind of like a Volkswagen, I don't know, some kind of wagon.
None of this matters. It comes up at the end, but it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter, but it's... The point is that Drew Carey is stressing and being an asshole in the carpool.
That's true. He's quite annoying in this carpool.
He barks like a dog at one point.
And into a man's ear whose dog had just passed away.
And
when the man tells him that his dog just died, Drew Carey doesn't say, "Oh, I'm so sorry," or "Oh, that was really inappropriate," or anything. He just says, "All right." And then turns around to try and talk to the driver.
He is also the only person talking in this car. It's the rest of these people have the demeanor of like anyone ever riding a bus.
It is so bad that in the straight on shot, you can only see three grown white men crammed into a car together. But when they go to the side angle shot, oh my goodness, there's a fourth person in that seat, and it happens to be a black man.
Mm-hmm. And it's astonishing because the thing in like as he's driving, Drew Carey's like freaking out, like, "We're gonna be late. Like, can you step it up?" And the guy goes, I don't like to drive fast. I want to be a safe driver." You have four people in the front row of your seat of your car. You have four people in the front row of your car.
Yeah,
like that is the most unsafe thing. The front rows of cars were not designed back in that day to hold four people. Unless, like, maybe two little kids in the middle. Who knows? Whatever.
Yeah.
But, anywho, eventually, spoiler alert, he gets kicked out of the carpool. Surprise, surprise. But he gets to the office. He's on the phone with his boss. Boss is a dick. He makes some snide remarks, blah, 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 blah. About his boss's heart condition or something. And then Mimi comes in. And Mimi...
She just walks in. He says...
Same old Mimi.
He says, "Let me see my interview for this job opening." And Mimi walks in and they say hi and she sits down and immediately like makes a comment about her makeup. And about how, you know, it doesn't matter if she's single or not because he is not interested. I just meant that in this innocuous way. Yeah, that's what we'll go with. There were some really shitty comments like that. And then it turns into, he says, you know, "Well, there's a lot of other applicants for the job." And she gets rightfully mad and she starts reading into the situation and calling him out on it. But that should just be enough, right? But she, like, really, like,
she
lays into him and slaps the desk and makes a huge scene so the whole office sees it.
Like, walks up behind him right before she leaves and screams in the back of his ear.
Yeah, and she takes off not the way that she came in.
Nope. But thank God, because if that was a regular cubicle, she would have just had to go
there'd back around the front. There'd been this awkward moment where she has to sneak by.
She has to do the edges and shimmy around the desk again.
Yeah.
So okay.
So she leaves and... Oh, no, what are you going to get?
Oh, no, yeah, she leaves, but yeah. Drew is just like, "Okay, goodbye." Like, being a real asshole about it. Like,
yeah.
And all of his coworkers are looking at him, and nobody says anything.
Well, they don't
nobody
get paid to
does
say anything.
Anything, but not even like a dirty look of like, "Dude, get your shit together."
Right.
Like, what kind of fucking office environment is it? Why is this man so important?
And why is he antagonizing this woman by ripping up her resume right in front of her and then trying to joke and make references back to a tiny piece of paper?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a dick move, for sure. As he's pretending to cough and ripping it up. And, like, as she's right there, like, dude, just put it on your desk, let her leave, and then you can fucking burn the thing in the middle of the office if you wanted to. Like, I realize that the tone of this show and the tone of the 90s and the 80s and all that style of sitcom that has kind of gone by the wayside, like, you have Fuller House now. I mean, I guess maybe some of the shows on CBS could be on that level, but it's just a lot of, like, ham-fisted, like, big comedy gestures that do not land. And it's just awkward. And, like, if you didn't have the laugh track for some of this stuff, like, Drew Carey would just come off like a crazy person.
He still does.
Oh, he still does, but, like, really, like neurotic to the core kind of crazy. But I will say that Mimi really took out, like, really, like, yeah, like, Drew definitely said some dick things. Like, the whole single, like, she went, I'm also single, if that matters. And then he goes, not to me, like, under his breath. And, like, that was, like, the first sign of, like, anything weird. Anything that could be labeled sexual harassment. But she also, like, why did she have to say, single? I'm single, if that matters.
So the joke could land because they had just finished talking exactly about boss employee relations.
Yes. Yeah, so
that was a bit, is what that was.
It was a bad bit.
So many bad bits.
There's a ton of bad bits.
And like two good bits, and one of them was just delivered so badly.
And like we get what he's trying to do, but like it just doesn't make sense in a real world setting. And I don't know, like, it was nuts. It was nuts how she kind of, like, jumped to conclusions right when he said, oh, well, you know, there's a lot of people interviewing for this job. Which is true. How many of us have gone to a job and heard that exact same line, whether we got the job or not? I've heard it both ways.
Well, there were some other lines sprinkled in the opening of the episode that mentioned that he's got a lot of people to interview and that he must have a stack of interviews piling up and that he's really pressed for time, so he's got to hire somebody soon. All of that to make him not look like such a piece of shit for turning Mimi down and saying the line, I have a lot of people to hire today. If those moments are gone, he still just looks like a piece of shit. Because he is.
He is a piece of shit. So then we see more of that at the bar. We go back to the bar that we went to in the first scene. All four of our main characters are there.
Well, first, I don't know if anything happened important. Well, so after that moment, he goes home, doesn't he? And he's introduced, and this is where we're introduced to the pool table in the backyard. As they're all standing around the pool table playing with leaves on it.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and Drew Carey comes in. They're all, so like they've been in and out of his house all day because he left for work with them in his house.
That's right.
And now he comes back to the work and they're all three still at his house in different clothes. I don't know if that means they each have a room there or like.
Did they go home and change?
Yeah, they went home and changed and came back.
But we know Kate has a car. And so she's the only one that.
So they're in the back playing pool and he walks up and grabs one of their pool sticks and is making some comment because he had a bad day at work. And
yeah, he threatens Oswald.
Oh, God.
Like he like jabs at him and like he's the world's most non-intimidating pirate.
Yeah,
Drew Carey.
Well, so then George walks into his house, and Jerry and Elaine come up and try to like you know settle him down or see what's wrong.
So was Oswald the Jerry?
I think Oswald's Jerry because Ryan's Kramer. Definitely Kramer.
100%. So they talk some more.
So but that's how they learn that whatever doesn't matter. It all doesn't matter.
This was a real bullshit scene.
They're at the bar, and Mimi walks in, and he says, "That's the lady." Oh, if I could talk to her, and then she comes up behind him and is like, "Hey, what's up, you piece of shit?"
Yep.
and then he doesn't talk to her, and he lets her. He just like sits there quietly as she berates him.
Well, Kate also, like, she holds him back. Because Mimi's giving it to him. And Kate's just like, no, play your, be cool. You're fine, just breathe. And then she says something else that kind of sets over the line. Oh, she says, Missy, don't stand up. I don't want to see where his hand is. And then she just goes, get him. Like, you wouldn't do that before? Like, Kate, like, that was such a manic switch.
Yeah, that was a good bit, though, but I liked that one.
So he goes over to Mimi, and the basis of what he says to her is, your looks won't always get you the job.
No, what he says to her is, you're a mean person. I couldn't hire you if I wanted
to. That too.
Which is a really fucking shitty thing to say to somebody that you denied for a job interview.
Yes, and to kind of go, it's definitely like a backhanded, like, oh, this is me helping you. When really it's like, you're a dick, you don't care, you're just saying this.
Yeah.
Just to fucking, like, to show me up, to make fun of me, because you don't like me.
Yeah.
That's bait, yep.
There was no purpose to it. There's a line, Oswald is trying to make clown jokes and failing.
So just like Jerry. Swish. Swish from downtown.
So Ryan comes up to Drew to get him out of the conversation, and he says, hey, Drew, who's your pretty friend? And she leaves in a huff. Mimi leaves in a huff. And Drew has a quip where he says, well, don't say that, Ryan. She hears it too much. Something along those lines. Basically insinuating that she has a lot of friends that are prettier than she is, that people always come up to ask for, which is a funny bit, but it was just so poorly delivered.
It was so bad, and you know what? Like we're shitting on it right now and being like, how did it make 9 seasons? Like, yeah. I'm sure it caught on, like quality wise. Like
I'm interested just, like, to know where Mimi comes in, because this was the introduction to the character, and we know that she's a big part of the show.
Yes,
but. When did they know that? You know what I mean? Was this?
Oh,
always...
I bet she'll be in the next episode.
You think episode 2 she's in?
Yeah, I bet.
Because it feels so
this
much...
is a predictions part of our podcast.
It feels so much like she's just showing up and leaving, like a little day player. You know what I mean? She just shows up for this one bit and then takes off.
I bet next episode, because she works in the office. Like
later.
Later, yeah. What if she starts now?
You think there's a storyline to the Drew Carey show?
Yeah, there's some kind of arc. They date at one point.
There was certainly
I don't know. This is we're trying to remember
a story arc, but not a character arc, because Drew did not change at all during this episode.
Don't you need date? No. Oh, I'm saying through the season. Like that's what I mean is that the season arc, next episode she gets introduced as one of the workers.
Is his boss?
In Drew's office. Nah. No, I think it's like, I don't know. Like, I think maybe a liaison to the Mr. Bell, like his boss. I don't remember. We'll find out.
I bet you, if this was the pilot episode, I bet you the higher-ups liked her so much that they were like, now you have to make her a recurring character on the show.
It could be.
So they're like, we'll let you make the show, but you also gotta, she needs to be... more involved.
I mean, it. I assume you are like me, where we didn't watch it from episode 1 forward. It kind of like picked up pieces and episodes like on, you know.
Nobody has ever like watched every episode of the Drew Carey show.
No, not the Drew Carey show.
Except for the poor editor. and poor us. Because I don't want to do this. I do not want to do this.
Tough shit. We have 232 left to go. Let's finish up this recap.
That's how it ends.
No, that's not how it ends. Because after they leave the bar, like that was kind of the resolution of the episode. Like, oh, no. Then they go to back to his office. where he finds out he's no longer in the
carpool. Oh, and Kate shows up and she's looking super fly.
She does. She does. But he had already promised the job to someone who was just there before. And he had like an hour to fill the job. Which, I don't know why they're trying to build up the stakes of a sales.
That's true. Why would these stakes there?
But like, at least with Just Shoot Me, like, it was, like, models and shoots and shit. Like, I don't know. Like, why a department store? Like, we need to find this.
Watching Just Shoot Me. That's so much more fun. The boss, he's so eccentric.
But he might not be a piece of shit. But we can tell from this episode already.
I would have so much more joy watching Just Shoot Me. Do we have to do all of them? Can we just do one season?
We'll see how it goes. But you get through to that part of the episode where Kate comes in. The boss calls and he's like, "Oh, I want that girl. I want her to be like. I saw her bend over for some water earlier today. Blah blah blah." And Drew picks up the phone and he stops the audience from hearing the boss perving on her, and essentially hires her. And he's just like, "Oh, well, I don't like that friends working together. This could get weird setting up the rest of the series." But I don't know.
Yeah, but if she works in the makeup department and he works in a cubicle.
Yeah, it's not that weird.
In like the attic of the department store. I don't know where they are, but there's a window and it looks to be like a higher up window in Cleveland.
Yeah. I was also wondering, I'm like, does Cleveland have tall buildings?
They
like
have
that?
Two buildings, remember?
Come and look at both of our buildings. Gives Kate the job, then goes home. Kate comes in, the other guys are there, of course, and she's like, "Oh, my first day starts tomorrow. Here, smell me. I have these perfumes to recommend." And Drew Carey, like, weirdly sniffs her in the face.
He gets a little too close.
Like, way too close. And it got to a point where you can see Kate, the actress, like, kind of like instinctually flinch back because of how fucking weird this Dilbert looking motherfucker is getting to.
Yeah.
And then after that, he's just so much love and life that he puts on his Paddington Bear raincoat, his bright ass yellow raincoat, like
in the head.
Like
in
the
but no boots.
The pants. The costume designer just got handed a piece of paper that said raincoat. And she was like, "Oh, I will make it the foremost recognizable raincoat ever." And it's this bright ass, oh my God, fucking Paddington Bear. It looks like goddamn Paddington Bear. As he runs outside, picks up a pool cue, and with this pool cue, he shoots a ball.
Pool like somebody who is an actor who's being told, "Oh, this will be a funny thing to play over the credits. You should play pool, Drew." He's like, "I don't want to." And they're like, "Just do it."
Also,
and dance around in the fucking rain.
Not only is it raining, you can clearly hear thunder. So,
the main point is that he's not playing pool. He's not shooting a cue, trying to make anything in. This is the same game that his friends left out there earlier in the day. Or the day before or whatever. And he's just...
Yes.
And randomly shooting and falling and being a good
ball. Yeah, you
as
see
he,
him...
As he clicks
well, I have the progression of it. He takes a shot. He whiffs. He takes a shot again. He hits a ball. But this ball is not the cue ball. And he hits that. Then he dances around the table a little and falls and slips. And it looked like it was manufactured. It looked fucking fake. The way he fell, it was very much doing kind of fall.
He's a pretty silly guy.
He's a wacky guy, this is Drew Carey, who is also a piece of shit. He then shoots at another ball on the other side of the table and then completely whiffs and makes a stab in the air with the cue stick. And it just read crazy person to me. It read that this man is so liked by his friends for his weird antics, but it feels like deep down those people are screaming for help.
Or that he's screaming for help.
I think we both can agree that Drew Carey was a piece of shit in this
Absolutely
episode.
Drew Carey was a piece of shit.
Is there anything else you want to add about this episode?
I'm sad that I watched it. I'm mad that you made me watch it twice. And I don't want to watch another one.
But we have 232 more episodes, and these lovely people, they're expecting it now.
If you hear this and you want us to do another one,
just don't say anything.
Yeah, because I don't want to do another one.
We got days and lights ahead. And it says, next exit, Cleveland. And Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
That's how you want to go out?
Ohio!